The current debate over Social Security is of particular concern to middle-aged Americans. On the one hand, the private accounts President Bush is pushing could be available to people up to age 55. On the other hand, potential benefit cuts aimed at keeping the system solvent could have a significant impact on workers in their 40s. These Americans are the focus of today's installment of our Social Security series. Here's NPR's John Itzty.
Retirement worries tend to get overshadowed when two suburban St. Louis girls' high school basketball powers face off. On this rainy January night, nationally ranked Incarnate Word is taking on its arch rival St. Joe's. But a group of Incarnate Word parents, including 48-year-old accountant Scott Sokolich and 51-year-old Gene Kebby, a medical technician, agree to sit down at halftime to talk about Social Security.
Absolutely. At my age, I am worried about it. And I don't feel that it's going to be that much there to provide for our needs.
My parents had a pension when they retired, and I assumed that I also would have it. And then somewhere about 5 years ago, our company decided you weren't going to have a pension, but we would have to rely on your 401k. So Social Security as a support would be important for a retirement.
The concerns of these middle-aged folks track national polls, which suggest more than half of all Americans doubt they'll get their promised benefit. Even though Social Security's trustees say the retirement program has the resources to pay full benefits for the next 38 years. After that, it would have the funds to pay more than two-thirds of promised benefits for decades. Most polls also show a majority initially has a positive response to President Bush's idea to allow workers to shift a portion of their Social Security taxes into private accounts. Scott Sokolich likes the idea.
I think it would be a great mechanism to stimulate savings on the younger side. I administer the 401k plan for my company, and I find that many of the younger people are not educated enough about investing in 401k plans. I think that they would take more advantage of it if they have a little control over it rather than the government.
I don't know that there are enough people educated in the investment or in the market in order to make good decisions on that.
That was Gene Kebby again. There is evidence that Americans who have 401k investment programs at work very often do make poor investment choices, not diversifying, for instance, or failing to make their investments less risky as they get older. The president has suggested the investment choices in the Social Security private accounts he's talked about would be very limited and not include risky options. That said, the administration has not yet developed a detailed plan for Congress to consider.
Let's go, Robbie!
The Palace Bowling Center in Downington, Pennsylvania, is hopping this Thursday night, packed with league bowlers like 47-year-old Sheila Van Zanten and 40-year-old Donna Kraidman. They haven't heard a lot about the president's plan to add private accounts to Social Security, but what they have heard gives them some concerns.
I don't trust the stock market anymore. I trust Social Security. I mean, look at everybody that retired when the stock market dropped. They lost so much money, and that was a lot of their retirement, and then they had nothing. So,
I know my brother isn't building his house because of the stock market. His plans for early retirement are because of the stock market. It's not going to happen now.
Donna and Sheila are examples of another take on the president's privatization plan that's reflected in the public opinion polls. When asked what's more important, private accounts or guaranteed benefits, two-thirds of those polled say guaranteed benefits are what they want, according to a recent Pew Research Center poll. But 54-year-old Maria Swanenberg has a much more positive view of the president's plan.
It's long overdue. It should have happened years ago.
She's especially intrigued by the idea, endorsed by the president, that the account could be handed down to her children or heirs when she dies.
My mother got Social Security probably 2 months before she passed away. Obviously, she never got any of the money out of it that she ever put into it. Granted, it helped somebody else, but the family could have used it at that point, too. And it was the same with my father.
The White House hopes this feature of private accounts will appeal to groups like African Americans, who have a shorter life expectancy on average than whites and don't live long enough to collect all their Social Security contributions. But while private accounts have dominated the political discussion about Social Security, even privatization supporters agree they don't address the fundamental challenge the program faces, filling Social Security's $3.7 trillion funding gap over the next 75 years. President Bush hasn't talked publicly about how he would solve this problem, but a leaked White House memo suggests the administration is considering changing the way initial Social Security benefits are set. Currently, the initial benefit is linked to wage increases across the economy. The White House is considering linking it to price increases, which lag wage gains by about 1% a year on average. Maria Swanenberg doesn't like the sound of that.
In the current job that I'm at, most people in that organization don't get any more than the cost of living increase. They're not making any room. Any headway, you're going to be behind the game.
And over several decades, linking initial benefits to prices instead of wages would have a dramatic effect on retirees' standards of living, says Mark Zandi of Economy.com. Right now, Zandi says, Social Security replaces about 40% of the average worker's pre-retirement wages. Under price indexing, he says, that would fall to 20% by the year 2050.
So we obviously are making losers out of the retirees. Is that what we want? Their living standard would pale in comparison to the average American worker.
In theory, the returns on private accounts could offset some of that loss for workers who choose them. There is no shortage of other plans for closing Social Security's financing shortfall, but what they all have in common is they involve either a benefit cut or a tax hike, though the president says his plan won't include the latter. Among the many options are gradually raising the retirement age, boosting the amount of salaries subject to Social Security taxes, or nudging the payroll tax rate higher. Put together, they could solve Social Security's financing problems. Tomorrow, we'll hear how young workers, who have the most at stake, feel about some of those options. John Idstey, NPR News.
And we're taking your questions about Social Security. We'll answer them later this week. Call our All Things Considered phone line at this number, 202-898-2395. That's 202-898-2395. And remember, we're looking for questions, not opinions.
You can find poll results on Social Security, economists' views on the issue, as well as the first part of our series, at our website, npr.org.